Are you ready? Welcome everybody to the WrestleMania edition of the Sleepawire podcast. I know that you guys listening to this might be going, whoa, what happened? We were just listening to an awesome 8-episode edition of what we're calling here on Sleepawire, the Division Breakdown Special. But we have to take a little break from that for a little bit just to talk about some big WrestleMania review. I would like to introduce myself and my co-host. I am Nick Summerall, and with me today are Adam and Steve. Guys, thank you for joining me on today's big WrestleMania show. How are you, Adam?
This is our last show for wrestling, right? We're not going to do another wrestling show till maybe SummerSlam. This is it, guys. We completed our WrestleMania season. We are at the end, and I hate to say goodbye to wrestling, but Sleeper Wire is a fantasy football podcast, right? That's first and foremost. And for those of you listening, let me explain to you a little bit what Sleeper Wire is. Sleeper Wire is a group of 12 multi-time, multi-year, multi-league champions that do a show. And I know that there's other shows out there with one, two, or three guys, and I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying this is numbers, people. There are 12 champions giving you advice at Sleeper Wire. 12. It's just numbers. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show, and you'll win. All right. So that's the fantasy football portion. But we are talking about wrestling. I'm sorry. This is it, man. This is it. I liked WrestleMania a lot. I'd give it a 8 out of 10.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Steve, what would you give WrestleMania out of 10?
A 7. Solid 7. Okay. I thought it was better than average. It exceeded my expectations. Okay, this is how I watched it. All right, I watched WrestleMania with my sister, who hasn't watched wrestling probably for 2 decades, at least. So I watched WrestleMania this year, not as a fan who follows wrestling, but kind of just a new person, just along for the thrill ride. And I watched it in that mindset of wait for the next WrestleMania moment, not so much caring like where the storylines came from and where they're going, but like, did that match engage me? And did I feel something at the end? And that's why I didn't give it a very high grade. 7, I think, is actually pretty generous.
Extremely. Okay. You guys are all, and we're all entitled to our own opinion, but I'm very curious to hear where you guys got your grades from. So let's break down some of these matches from WrestleMania. We're not going to get through all of them because, my God, there were so many and some that were just really didn't need to be there. I think we can agree there were a couple matches at least that didn't have to be on this card that were there. Am I wrong or right?
Well, are we starting with the pre-show? Because I didn't watch that at all.
We're not going to start with the pre-show, although I will have my comments because I did watch a couple things from the pre-show, if I may. A match I recommend to you both, if you both didn't watch the pre-show, and if anybody else who missed the pre-show, Austin Aries versus Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship was a really good match. In fact, that's probably my second best match of the entire WrestleMania card. So I would definitely recommend you guys go back and watch it. I thought it was very sound technical wrestling match between the two. I enjoyed that one very much. Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. I thought this was interesting because I think we all had Ambrose versus Baron Corbin for the Intercontinental title on the main card. That ended up on the kickoff show. Tells you what they think about the Intercontinental title.
That's weird. Tells you what they think of Dean Ambrose.
That's true, too. And that's a shame. But the other thing is, though, my surprise was that they had Ambrose retain the title because I thought this was the chance that they were going to give to Baron Corbin to elevate him, bring him up to that next step. So that was interesting to me as well. But I have my ideas of why maybe they went that route. So yeah, we'll get into that in a little
going to save it for a big show, right? They're going to save it for a big show, probably. Or TV.
Or he's going to go main event, right? He's going to go for the Universal title.
Yeah, but two out of three of us didn't watch the pre-show. So, I mean, with a five-hour WrestleMania, there had to be a lot of people who probably skipped the pre-show. And they're going to throw away a title change on something that didn't get the viewership that they could get on a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown or Payback.
But then
something.
Again, you think about the Andre the Giant, more about a Royal. And yeah, they had somebody like a loser like Mojo Rawley win, but they had Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, that's all that. But that's all that was.
So I guess if they're not caring about viewers, though, you know, why have Gronkowski out?
No, that was again. That's a WrestleMania moment. That gets them on SportsCenter, that gets them in mainstream media, that gets them trending on Twitter.
Sure.
That's all that was.
And that's the only match that he could have come out in, right? He couldn't have come out in any other match.
But whatever. This isn't even important. This isn't even important. So, but that, I mean, really, what are we doing here? We got so much, so many other things to cover. Let's not waste time. Steve.
Hmm?
We started off with AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon.
Yep.
My opinion, this should have just been a straight-out street fight type of match.
Yes.
But they kept it with rules, and the referee got knocked out, so they were able to get a little bit of the element of hardcore in there, I suppose, with the trash cans. But I don't think they took it where that match could have gone. What was your opinion on this match?
I watched the match, and I felt engaged in the match. I didn't feel at the end that there was enough. I think it served its purpose well. It's just at the end, I didn't feel like, oh, wow, okay, something great happened.
Yeah, right.
You know, I
like it was a solid match, right?
Yeah. Very, very solid. Very solid.
That's what I'd say, too. I'd say it was solid. I just, you know, I think what bothers me so much is that it's AJ Styles, and they could have done something so much bigger with him, and he could have had... You know what I mean? Like AJ Styles could be, right now, if they match him up with the right guys at WrestleMania, he could fill in that Shawn Michaels, steal the show, match quality type. You know what I'm saying, Steve? Like, don't you agree with that to some extent?
But we talked about this on the last show. We were trying to figure out, like, who else is there that's not involved in something right now that he could face? And they would have had to, like, rewind time to go back to undo the Randy Orton mess to put AJ... into the title picture, but
clearly, though, we saw on Raw, Finn Balor was obviously healthy enough.
Yeah,
probably,
yeah. I don't understand why they waited on that.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity. Adam, let me move on to you. So, what did you think of AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon?
This is one of my top three matches of the card.
Wow.
I think this was a great match from get go because you had it played up as Shane being the risk taker, AJ being the phenomenal one with style. And Shane comes out there, proves himself by wrestling AJ to the ground. Lots of great sells by AJ on this. Spot after spot after spot of Shane reversing AJ's moves. That spot where he jumped up with the trash can, hit him in the face. That other spot where he reversed his move, I don't remember what it was, but he had two really phenomenal spots in there that I really liked. And I thought that overall Shane really wrestled well, and I still think this tells the story of AJ not wanting to be on SmackDown. I even messaged this to you guys. Did you see his outfit where half of it was red and half of it was blue? I mean, he even played up the fans. But here's what I think, and I want to put this thought into your mind at the beginning of this show so you can tell me if I'm right or if I'm crazy by the end. But I think that this WrestleMania was a very much passing the torch WrestleMania. I think the people who are going to carry the company forward won, and the other people did not. When I was talking to some other people about this, they said, hey, did you know they brought back all these people for WrestleMania? And I went, huh, they did, didn't they? They brought back, if you look at it, how many people were wrestling 10, 20 years ago that were back just for this WrestleMania? It felt very symbolic in that way.
So, Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship. My other thought, and I probably brought this up in the last show, I just can't remember at this point. My thought is, when you have these long-running feuds going on, right, there should be an end to the feud, unless they're going to continue it afterwards, which maybe they will, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm waiting to see how this one plays out. But if WrestleMania was the end of Owens and Jericho, even after what happened on Raw, if it was still really the end and Jericho's going to miss some time, take some time off, not wrestle, even though they did announce Owens versus Jericho should be taking place at Payback, but I'm going to wait and see if that actually pans out. But if like I said, WrestleMania is the end of that feud right there for now, for a while, it should have been a bigger match. It should have felt like a bigger match, and it just didn't. And I thought the ending was kind of weird too. I don't know. It was a solid match again. The work was great from both sides. I like their chemistry together. I just wasn't a big fan of this match particularly. I just thought it was solid. I thought it should have been better though for the build up that it got. Adam, what about you? Is this one of your other top three matches?
You know what? I had bottom three matches, and unfortunately, wow, this one falls in that category. Not because Jericho and Owens aren't spectacular performers. They are. I think they were victims of their own storyline. They're such good entertainers that it was hard to perform up to the standard that their story demanded. And that was the problem. I was expecting an Owens versus Cena type of match that I got, and I didn't see it. Unfortunately, in my opinion, Chris Jericho plays it very safe in the ring, which is why he lasts so long. And I didn't see the spots and the spectacular performance that I know both those guys can put on when they're pushing it to the limit. But I think the storyline moving up to it was excellent. Mm-hmm. We all enjoyed it. Just, I think it climaxed a little weak.
I agree. What about you, Steve? What did you think?
I like
of the match?
That victims of their own storyline. I like that Adam had obviously done some show prep today and come up with some good lines. Good one.
This is what happens when you don't get drunk before the last show. Right? Man, Fastlane was so bad.
It took his time. I agree with both of you guys. This match could have been so much more. It needed more viciousness. It needed more emotion. These guys were best friends. They finally get a chance to fight each other in the biggest stage on the Ultimate Thrill Ride. It had its moment with the finger on the rope, and it had its moment with the powerbomb on the apron, but this was another match. You're going to hear me say this a lot. I was engaged in the match. It did engage me up until the end. After it ended, mm-hmm, I felt like there was just something missing. A little more viciousness at the end to really sell that Owens was finished with him. He's going to beat the hell out of his old best friend, and now he wins and he gets the belt and Jericho can go away for a while. Or if they were going to go the other way, Jericho coming back. But I just didn't feel enough, you know, was there. It just wasn't enough.
But Owens did win, right?
He did win. Yes.
Owens won.
Yes.
Right. He became the United States champion.
So I just want to point out,
goddamn,
AJ and Owens, both young faces in the company. I know not young technically, but young faces in the company, beating the older established guys. And this is, we're two for two here.
Right. And I know the other ones you're going to talk about too. I already know. Yeah. I mean, they're pretty obvious.
There's one I'm really pretty interested in talking about.
I'm sure you, me, Steve, the rest of the world is still talking about it, but we're going to get there. Let's just take our time. Just to make a note here, something I'm predicting, because on Raw, Vince McMahon came out and announced that they're going to shake up the rosters next week, and unfortunately, I'm going to miss that Raw. I wish I could go. It's in Long Island, where I live, but I'm not going to be able to. I know. I wish I could go, but I have to work, so I'll have to miss it.
I can fill it for you. I can flip burgers and make French fries. Come on.
Flip burgers, make French fries.
Yeah.
Wow.
Steve knows how McDonald's employees work.
Man, they must be paying me a lot at McDonald's to make, like, you know, over $1,400 a week. Wow. Anyways. So here we go. I think that what's going to happen with the shakeup, I think we could see Owens and Dean Ambrose switching shows, switching the titles between the IC title and the United States title. That's one of my theories as to why Ambrose still has the IC title. Because I think that what's going to happen here is you have the Shield now all together back on Raw. You got Owens on SmackDown giving him some fresh feuds, giving, you know, Dean Ambrose maybe some fresh feuds. Plus, we already probably know that AJ Styles will probably go to Raw next week. I mean, we did kind of see some leaked images and stuff like that, or just images that WWE actually stupidly put out themselves. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious, I think, in our heads that AJ Styles is going to be going to Raw next week. So that move to me makes sense.
Who would Owens feud with best on SmackDown?
Well, right now I don't know exactly right now. I mean, there's still going to be moves and shakeups, I guess, that could maybe help out Owens on that show.
I'd like to see Owens take that U.S. title and do what Cena did and have an open challenge, but never accept a challenge from anybody good. Just scrubs.
That would be great.
Yeah, I'll take on half of the Shining Stars. Sure, I'll take on Bo Dallas. Sure, I'll take on, you know. And then you bring up somebody big. That would be a great moment. And that would be a nice feud. Because Owens is the perfect guy for that kind of second-tier belt gatekeeper, mm-hmm. I think.
He is, but I still think he's main event worthy too. Absolutely. I just think now, though, have him as that second tier guy for now. Like, I agree. He doesn't have to be main event right this second, but I still enjoyed him in the main event. I just think that, and I enjoyed the Jericho and him stuff. I just think it ran a bit too long, but I get why they were doing it. They were trying to carry it to WrestleMania. The Fatal 4-Way Elimination Women's Match, Bayley retains a title. I thought this was a decent match, too. It wasn't on the level of what last year's Triple Threat women's title match was, in my opinion. But I think it was still solid. I think they worked hard. And I still think this class of women's wrestlers in WWE today are still some of the most talented they've ever had. So that I enjoy. I enjoy, like, it's not... To me, it's not like, oh, I get up and do something else when the women are on. I actually enjoy watching them for their wrestling ability. Now, let's hear Adam completely insult them. Adam, go ahead. What was your thought on the women? Divas.
There you go. Let's talk about them. So I think that Flair is amazing. And the spots that she puts on for these matches, I mean, she did. And this here's a good example of why I have a problem with the way the women wrestlers are presented. So when I was watching, Flair did this amazing, triple deke off the top rope. I don't even know what it was, but it was awesome, right? Oh, and it was salt? Like a flip,
screwdriver,
something.
Moonsault or whatever?
Yes. Yeah. It was awesome. It was like a mixed drink. It was fantastic. But when she did it, it was, oh, look at that. That's amazing. See how far the women have come? Then later on, when Seth Rollins did the same basic move off the top rope, it was, this is amazing. This is something you'd see on 205 Live. You never see people do moves like this. And it became this bombastic thing. I think the more I've been getting into this, I think the problem with the women is the announcers. The announcers don't give them the proper credit and respect that they're due. I like Charlotte Flair. She is by far my favorite, in my opinion, the most talented. Sasha Banks and the rest of them come in there, but she's just on a level above everybody else. And I'll watch matches with her because I like her talent. But everybody else, They're average talent and best, and it's not a revolution.
Steve, what do you have to say about that?
I think he's right. Charlotte's the best in that division, and she does the coolest shit, and she should have the belt. And I don't know why Bayley already had the belt, because it didn't really feel like much when she won it. Well, when she retained it, I should say. I love the fact that they had to team up on big old Nia Jax to take her out. That was cool.
Big Show.
Yeah, that was cool, and that really made her look good. But I think Charlotte should have had the belt. She didn't win the belt. I thought she should have had the belt in there. And that makes Bayley and Sasha have to do something extra, extra special to overcome her.
I agree. Charlotte is probably the most talented on the roster. But it feels to me like something is holding the women back at some point. Because you look at these women and what they did in NXT, and they were incredible. All four of the top ones that came over, Bayley, Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte, all four of them were amazing. And the fact that we're sitting here and saying that Charlotte's the only one that's truly standing out, I don't know what it is, but something's happening where maybe they're being limited somehow. Maybe they're being told to do something. I just can't understand.
Maybe they're
it.
Just not as good as NXT made them out to be.
How is that
it
possible?
Was different.
I mean,
no,
we
it
watched
was different.
Their wrestling.
Go ahead. I think it was different.
Go ahead.
No, I think in what? NXT, they were really allowed to inhabit their characters and develop a character. And Sasha was a heel to start off with, or at least I believe so, which she was
well,
really
good.
Well,
she was kind of a face, and then, like, but she wasn't, that wasn't like, she didn't take off with that gimmick. But when she turned heel, yeah, that's she, where she really took off. But
yeah, she was super hot when she was heel. And Bayley was allowed to get close, lose, get close, lose, get close, lose, and finally overcome. So it seemed, and I think I said this before on another show, it seemed like they rushed them into the title picture very quickly, and maybe that's just because they have to, but I don't get the feeling, I don't feel the Bayley on the main roster is even close to the Bayley that I enjoyed on NXT. I don't feel like it's the same.
Neither is Emma, right? There's a bunch of them that aren't.
But you can have them. I mean, they give them a lot of wrestling time. They gave them a lot of wrestling time at WrestleMania. They give them a lot of wrestling time on the shows. But they the way they talk about stuff, the way the women talk about stuff, it's very still in the Divas era type of, you know, backstabbing friendship kind of, you think you're prettier than me kind of, you know, catty dumb shit like that. Why aren't they fighting for a championship? Why aren't they fighting to be the best? I want to be the – like Becky Lynch to me feels like the girl or feels like the wrestler, the woman wrestler who wants to be the best, and she'll fight to get there. She's not worried about, oh, your husband would marry me if he wasn't with you. Like that's such catty bullshit. And that's a hangover from the Divas era that they really have to get rid of if they want us to really take these stories seriously.
I agree. All right, guys, let's move on. So here was probably, and maybe I'm missing a match in between, I can't remember, but here's where I think things got, this was probably the best of the night when we had the triple threat ladder tag team match, and New Day comes
delete,
out.
Delete.
And you had New Day come out, and you're thinking, oh boy, they're going to get involved and wrestle in this match. And then, as Steve alluded to, delete. You had the Hardy Boys return to the WWE and win the Raw Tag Team titles. This was my best match on the show. I thought it had everything. It had the surprise of the Hardys' return. It had the action, the fast-paced action that I enjoy. It just gave you everything. And it was, you know, we've seen a multi-man ladder match over the last couple of years. This was awesome because it's tag team style, and I always love multi tag team ladder, I'm using tag team way too much, but you know what I mean. Like I love the excitement of these kind of matches, and this delivered for me. So this was my best match of the show. Steve, what was your thought on everything that happened with the tag team ladder match?
I don't get the delete thing. I'm gonna be honest. I don't watch the. I haven't
Just
watched.
Wait.
Yeah,
it's
no. Yeah, I get it, dude. I get it. But I haven't watched any of that stuff. So when people were talking about Broken Matt and Delete and all that stuff, like, I'm kind of clueless. So I looked at it from a very pure, cool, the Hardy Boys came out. That was exciting. The match was exciting. It's their kind of match. I really like Cesaro and Sheamus' entrance. I thought that was great. But every one of the other teams had a big guy, and big guys aren't typically very good in these high-flying ladder matches. So I think it was perfect for the Hardys to come in. This is what we do. We kill at these matches. I heard that they had a fantastic ladder match the night before at another promotion, which I'm going to look at. So, yeah. They
Ring of Honor. It was against the Young Bucks. It was very good.
So I got to take a look at that. But, yeah, I think this was the best match of the night. I stole the show. The ending was awesome. Them winning was great, and the crowd was into it, and that match, to me, had that full, it was like a full meal. I got excited at the appetizer at the beginning, I enjoyed all the action, and the finish was like, great dessert. Very, very fulfilling match.
Awesome. Awesome. So, how about you, Adam? What was your thought in the ladder match?
Certainly one of the top matches of the night. I mean, definitely across the board, everybody's going to agree. The way New Day came out and introduced them was awesome. Having them come down, giant pop from the crowd. I mean, couldn't be any bigger. Even if you knew they were coming, and there was so much speculation, and there's so much speculation around whether Matt can even use the Broken Universe and the Broken character, that just makes it all that more tantalizing to yell out as fans in the arena and to see him. And what kind of struck me was that when I was watching Jeff do the amazing Swanton off the top of the ladder, I kept going back to JR going, "He's going to be broken in half. Oh my God, why would you sacrifice your career, Jeff? You're shaving years off your career." And now I'm watching it 20 years later, and he's still doing the same thing. And those guys who all played it safe, like Stone Cold and everybody else, aren't wrestling anymore. So it's kind of amazing to me that the biggest risk taker in the company is the one still going strong, still looking good 20 years later. Amazing, amazing match, amazing performance. One of the best.
Absolutely. I mean, this was a memorable moment for SmackDown. This was the one that I felt like, okay, like, at least this happened, and so it was a complete waste of my time watching. That's something I can say about WrestleMania there with that match. So kudos to WWE all around planning that one out and getting that one accomplished. I mean, that was definitely worth my time. Now, let's get to these last three main events, because I think those are the only ones truly worth talking about here that's left. And we're going to take some time on these, I'm sure. Let's talk about first the WWE heavyweight title match, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. My concern all along, I'm pretty sure I said this on the last show too, was that we've seen them wrestle before, and their matches weren't truly exciting then, and guess what, at WrestleMania, it wasn't exciting then either. It was a Randy Orton Bray Wyatt match. I mean, what else were you expecting? With no stipulation in there to make it any more interesting. And, you know, for such a long buildup, I'm pretty disappointed that's how they end it. It's the same thing as you had with Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho, in my opinion. It was an okay match, maybe, you know, at its best. But then the ending, you're just like, really, that's it? I'm sorry, we have one more match to talk about, too, that I almost left out there. That was actually a solid match, but we'll continue on this one. So, Steve, your thoughts first on the WWE heavyweight title match.
I don't know, dude. I had nightmares when...
Was it all the bugs?
No, it was funny. Dude, it was... No, it was funny, because, like, so... When the first thing, and he had the maggots, I was like, what are those worms? What is that? What the hell's going on? And at first, I was totally disoriented. I'm like, how did we get above the ring? And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, okay, there he is. Oh, Bray has control of the production truck. Amazing. Okay. So then.
That's a power onto itself.
Yeah. So then I'm taking bets with the people who are watching the show with me. I'm like, okay, it's going to happen a couple more times. I'm sure this is like, they're going to do it at least 2 or 3, 5, 6, 18 times. What other things is he going to have? So we're like, well, he could have worms. We hit that one. We said cockroaches. We missed that. He got crickets instead. We thought he might have slugs. And then I thought. And then I thought, well, what should happen is Randy Orton should like grab him and grab the sides of his head and steal his power, and then he changes the mat to vipers, and then he hits the RKO. Because it was such a comic book, goofy, dude, I'm over it. That match was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I didn't like
it. It was really goofy.
I don't care. Yeah. Randy Orton as champion doesn't excite me. Bray Wyatt as magician Bray Wyatt doesn't scare me. This match said, okay, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, that's finished. Who knows what they're going to do with Bray Wyatt after this? To me, that's a huge question mark.
I think, you know? I think Bray Wyatt needs to go to Raw.
I think they should start a whole new storyline, Bray Wyatt unemployment line. This match was not good. I said I had the bottom three. This is the bottom three. And we talked about this in the last show. At the end of the day, it's a match between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. And that's not a match you want to see. Randy Orton needs to start going part-time. I'm just tired of seeing him all the time. That's it. It was not a good match. Not a good finish. Not a good way to go. Least entertaining match of the card.
Yeah, I agree. Now, another match that I thought of we do need to talk about, too, is, of course, Triple H versus Seth Rollins. The non-sanctioned match. This one was another really solid match. Rollins is definitely one of the top talents in WWE. He just needs to continue to stay healthy, and hopefully he does, because that's the only way he's going to ascend in the company. Otherwise, he keeps getting a couple of these injuries, you know, more often. He won't have a long career. But Seth Rollins is great. I'm glad that he won. Getting rid of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, so that on Raw, my big prediction came true, which was Kurt Angle was going to be the Raw general manager. And before we talk about the match, how great was it to see Kurt Angle as the Raw general manager? Adam.
You know what? I think Kurt Angle is great as the Raw general manager. I think 3 months from now, it's going to be fantastic. I think what he should do is have this like hard time of understanding this new talent coming in. Like, that's not how you spell soft, you know? And
yeah,
I think doing that and playing that up, like, who are you guys? You know, I'm an Olympic gold medalist. Who are you? I think that that's great. He was great with Stone Cold. If he can find that magic again, I'm really looking forward to it.
Steve, did you feel like Enzo and Cass were Kurt Angle's Edge and Christian?
I haven't watched Raw. I haven't finished Raw yet. But from what you just said, if Angle's acting like the straight guy, I love it. Angle's great.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the segment where Edge was giving him the pictures?
And
saying stuff on the back of the picture? Yeah. You're a dork. You suck balls. Oh, that was great.
Let's talk about the match, though. Triple H versus Seth Rollins. Steve, what did you think of this match?
This was one of the few matches, because the way I watch WrestleMania, I kind of looked at it like the Super Bowl. I said, this is the end of the season, and the characters are not necessarily going to be the same characters come Monday. It might be a whole new show. So I looked at this one, I said, this match could actually lead to something next season. This one could be a long-term thing. Because Triple H has to get his revenge, he has to get his revenge for his wife, and he's already kind of got some guys on his side with Samoa Joe who can do some dirty work for him. So we talked about this before, he might get a couple more heavy hitters on his squad and really start to make Seth Rollins' life a living hell, which I like. It looks like Finn Balor might be the guy to help Rollins out, which I really like.
Yeah, Finn Balor was huge. It was great to see him back. This is why I was disappointed, though, when I saw him come back, because it made me think even more, why couldn't have this been set up then? If you knew he was going to be back the night after WrestleMania, you knew then he could have been cleared to compete at WrestleMania, so why not have Finn Balor wrestle AJ Styles instead of, you know, Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles?
McMahon's a bigger draw. Shane McMahon's a bigger draw.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
no
Finn
doubt.
Balor is the bigger draw these days.
No, for you, I don't know what Finn Balor can do. I never saw Finn Balor in NXT. I have still yet to really see Finn Balor wrestle because, you know, he was Universal Champion for like a day. I don't even remember what that was. Shane McMahon is a bigger draw than Finn Balor.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe right. Last year he was.
The general audience doesn't know Finn Balor. They don't know the Demon yet. So they need to get accustomed to that. That's a pretty heavy character to just bust out on a return from a very short exposure before the injury. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I'll agree. Shane McMahon, bigger name, fine, whatever. But let me ask you this. How many fucking names do you need on the show to be big draws? You already had freaking old Goldberg back. You have Brock Lesnar. You had Undertaker. You really needed Shane McMahon. You couldn't have had AJ Styles and Finn Balor on there. Like, is that what you're telling me? Like, Shane McMahon put it over the top for you guys? Like, oh, we're not going to come watch it with those three legends, but Shane McMahon is there. Woo!
First off, what I said is that he's a bigger name, and
I know, I but I'm just
said,
saying.
I also said that that was one of the best matches of the night was those two. So I wouldn't want to see Finn Balor because I wouldn't want to take away from that match. And secondly, Nick, they don't give a shit what you want.
Oh, I know they don't. Oh, I know WWE doesn't give a shit what any of us want. Honestly, they don't give a shit about anything that we want. I completely understand that, especially with the way WrestleMania ended. I know they don't give a shit. I get that.
Should we go to your favorite match of the night? I'm certain that the Universal Heavyweight Championship
versus Brock Lesnar then, because this is a match that I saw live at WrestleMania 20 13 years ago. I was a 14-year-old kid sitting in a nosebleed at Madison Square Garden. And at that time, these were my favorites. I went through probably the same story at the last show. And damn it, at least what they did right this time was they made it a lot shorter than that one. As we predicted, Brock Lesnar walks out as a champion after 4 minutes and 1 second. What can be said about this match, Steve? What can be said?
Great match. This is the perfect way to do it. Perfect way to do it.
I agree.
Couple big moves. Brock looks in danger, comes back, does it. I mean, this is exactly what we wanted. It was short, it was powerful, it was fast. We got to Suplex City. Brock overcame his demons and won. This is what we wanted. I think it was great. I really enjoyed this match. I felt really good about this match.
Adam, what about you? Is this like your top three?
Not top three. I've already given you two of them, and we're gonna finish.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
But what I am going to say is that I agree with Steve that this is a good match, good storytelling. What the problem was with Brock up to this point is that Brock looked vulnerable. Now Brock looks invincible again.
Yeah.
And you did that even with him losing. So now he's a losable beast. Before, he was an unlosable beast. So good on the WWE for putting that down and allowing that character to lose to Roman Reigns next year at WrestleMania.
That's that spear through the barricade. That was one of the best ones I've ever seen.
That was great.
Blew that thing.
That was great.
That was great. I'll admit that part.
I thought they almost killed JoJo in that one. She's lucky she was out of the way.
And I mean, in the very beginning, I thought for sure Goldberg was going to put it down again, and I was so upset that this was going to be another 10-second match. And then when he kicked out and started hitting them with those moves, I thought, this is great. My only issue with this is the same issue that I have with the next match, and that is the limited amount of moves that these superstars do.
Well, but seriously, is a normal punch going to hurt Goldberg or Brock Lesnar? No. You got to hit him with something big to even
affect him. You hit him with 10 suplexes and an F5. What else did he hit him with? What else did Goldberg use besides a spear and a jackhammer? Why are these guys limited to under 5 moves?
Because that's the only thing that can hurt
off,
him.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
But it's the only thing that can hurt a Goldberg or hurt a Brock Lesnar. You can't hurt him with just a clothesline. You can't hurt him with a deep arm drag. You got to hit him with
He's like a final boss in a video game. You have to hit him with only your best weapons.
Exactly.
Every time.
You just keep spamming that like spin kick move that in Double Dragon just clears the screen. You just keep hitting it.
Well, also to be fair too, I mean, Goldberg, he was best known for only 5 moves back even in his prime. So there's nothing new with that about Goldberg. And then with Brock Lesnar, you know, I remember Brock Lesnar when he actually used to do more than 2 moves, and I loved that Brock Lesnar. I can't stand this Brock Lesnar. I love the F5, but I can't stand that all he does is a few moves and he doesn't do anything else.
That does bother me, but Brock Lesnar himself looks and acts like the beast
I
wanted him to. It's a great character development, and now your Universal Champions are Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Goldberg, and Lesnar. That's a pretty solid initial class.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the shittiest part of WrestleMania, in
Best
my opinion.
Match of the night.
Oh my God, you're ridiculous. You make me want to vomit. So we had Roman Reigns versus Undertaker, and in my opinion, listen, fine. You want Undertaker to go out and retire? It was going to happen one day. No, it was obvious. Just the whole idea that this is the guy, because this is who they hand-selected and want to push, even though everybody else is against it, and that the fact that the match itself was just sloppy, piss-poor, botch-fest everywhere. I mean, my God, Roman Reigns couldn't even pick up The Undertaker to put him in his tombstone. And he tried twice. I mean, the match was just ugly. That was just putrid as far as any wrestling match I've ever seen. And Undertaker's had some pretty stinkers over the last few years that he's been back, like coming back. This was by far the worst garbage he's had in a long time. And that's only because Undertaker's health is so bad right now. He should have retired 3 years ago to save us from horrible memories of Undertaker, and we should have just remembered him for the shocking end that Brock Lesnar put to The Undertaker, and that should have just been the way he went. But no, instead, they have him hang around for a few years, get himself more damaged than he already probably is from a near 30-year wrestling career. You have him then go out on his back to Roman Reigns, of all people. And yeah, I get it. He's their future. He's the guy that they want to build around. But look at all the accolades this guy has already racked up. They're even better than what they had for John Cena back in his day when he started getting pushed. I mean, my God, like, what is this guy going to be? Is this guy going to be, like, the 100-time fucking champion? Is that what we're going to have here? Who beat Undertaker, who's probably going to beat Brock Lesnar next year, being the only guy who's invincible and immortal to beating everybody? I mean, is that what we're really building here? It's just, this is stupid. It's stupid booking, and it's just, it doesn't make sense. This is just not the way you properly book a guy. Even if you just want, like, one guy, like, what, you want one guy to be invincible? How does that make sense? Where's the logic then for anybody being able to beat Roman Reigns ever? Even in his past, why would you even had him lose then at this point? It doesn't make sense, this whole idea of what they had with Roman Reigns. And as I said, the match quality itself was just horrible. Absolutely garbage. And you know, maybe it started off okay, but halfway through it was a complete shit show. And that's really all I have to say about that until Adam brings up stupid points about how it was the best match of the night.
That's all I got to say about that. And that's the bottom line, is it? Is that
the yeah, and that's the bottom line. And that's the bottom line.
So we eviscerate your opinion here, Steve and Nick. Steve, what did you think? Steve, did you like this match? Because I want to know if I'm in the minority or not.
Okay, I'll take you through what I felt. When JR came down, I was excited. So excited to see. And then I realized he's calling the match. And then I realized JR wouldn't just call a match. He would call Undertaker's last match. Because Taker would probably say, I'll do it, but JR is going to call it. Okay, I'm prepared for it. So now I'm thinking this could go two ways. And I think I said this on the previous show. One way it could go, Roman Reigns cannot beat The Undertaker, so he has to cheat. He has to use weapons, and he turns traditional heel. Or Roman still wins, but he gets beat up so badly, and he makes the comeback at the very end. He doesn't become heel, but he becomes a courageous, you know, he gets that courageous face thing. He beats The Undertaker, but he has to take every bit of punishment that he gives him. So this is what I'm expecting. Then I see Taker pick up the goddamn chair. Well, that puts my first theory out the window, because if Taker uses the weapon first, it doesn't matter anymore. So now I'm thinking, okay, Roman can get his ass beat within an inch of his life, pull out the upset victory, he looks like a hero, they get the first tombstone, he kicks out. I'm like, the chair's there. If Taker tombstones him on the chair and he kicks out, I'm okay with Roman winning. I'm okay with that because he took a tombstone and a tombstone on a chair and he got out of that and he still wins. I'm okay with that. He's okay. He deserved to beat him. But they didn't do that. What ended up happening, and now I got a whole new outlook on life, boys. So what ended up happening was it basically looked like Roman Reigns just beating an old man around the ring. Very anticlimactic ending. Then I did catch the beginning of Monday Night Raw, which is where I came up with this. Like I'm seeing it from. Maybe this is what Vince is trying to do. It's a very meta way to think about it. But the way that Roman acted on Monday Night Raw in the beginning, where he just played with the crowd, raised the mic up, let him boo him, dropped the mic, smug, self-assured, total asshole. So I'm thinking that reaction from that crowd and the reactions he's getting, that's what they want. They realized a long time ago, way before we started complaining about the fact we didn't want Roman to be the top guy and they're forcing it, they're like, you know what? This is the reality era. He's going to be hated, but not in the traditional heel sense. He's going to be hated because in reality, we are forcing you to accept him. We are forcing him to be the new John Cena. We know you're going to hate him, and that's what we want. And I feel like a lot of us, myself included, have been duped by it for a long time. And I've been complaining about it, and I'm finally starting to see it. I'm like, okay, I can actually get behind my hate now. I can understand. But, I hate this guy because of the reality of what actually is happening in the wrestling back offices.
Right. Okay, fine. Everybody knows, though, that's the react. They just want a reaction. You know, like everybody who hates Roman Reigns doesn't actually really hate Roman Reigns. That's the other thing. That's the problem here, is that Roman Reigns is like putting out the Queen of England, but really the problem is with Parliament. But who do you see? Do you see Parliament or do you see the Queen of England? You see Roman Reigns, but the problem isn't really Reigns, because in all reality, in my opinion, I don't think Reigns himself is a terrible wrestler or, you know, or anything like that. I just think that he just shouldn't have the vote of confidence. It's so highly. Because I think there are better wrestlers in that company that deserve it. And I think there's a lot of people out there who agree with that there's other people in the business that deserve it more than a guy like Roman Reigns.
And
that's the thought there.
But I think that's what they want, Nick. I think that's what they want you to feel. I think they want you to feel that resentment that this company that you followed and you love their product and you grew up with is screwing you. Oh, right.
But that's bad business.
Right.
That's
bad business.
Is it?
No, it's not. Listen, listen. No, it's not. Because here's the deal. Roman Reigns is a new type of heel. It started with Batista. Do you remember when Batista came out with Daniel Bryan out there? He was supposed to be good. Everybody booed him because it was Daniel Bryan's year. That's when they realized they could pull this off. And this is a completely new type of villain. Now, I understand that he's supposed to be a face, but he's not. And because you buy him as a face, it makes him that much better of a heel. When you start realizing that he is a heel already, that's when the character becomes more interesting. And I thought that this match, although sloppy in a lot of areas, was amazing for Undertaker's 160th match at WrestleMania. I mean, the guy, come on, he's been doing this forever. He put it down at the very end and left everything literally in the ring. And if you want to get real meta, Steve, what does it say about Roman Reigns' future when he beats death itself?
Death itself, oh my God.
All right, so I think I don't think this match was well performed, but I think Roman has a lot to grow in that area as an in-ring performer. But I think that his moves are so safe, and he's not going to get hurt, and he's such a strong and over character. Whether you like him or not, he's over. That he is certainly the future, and I think these "fuck you, Roman" chants next year are going to turn into "thank you, Roman" chants.
No. you are full of shit. It's nope. Not going to happen. It's not. Because I'll tell you right now, Adam, I am – this year, I have never been more detached from wrestling in my life than this year. Always been the diehard. Yeah, but you didn't watch, especially these last 10 years.
I didn't watch like you. Yeah.
Not these last 10 years. Me, on the other hand, I watched every single Monday Night Raw. I looked up every single day everything what was going on the wrestling news sites, on rumor mills, everything. Oh, yeah. I would go deep into wrestling. This year, I mean, last night was the first Monday Night Raw I've watched since, I don't know, after SummerSlam, maybe? I'm so detached from wrestling these days as far as the weekly ins and outs. And, you know, I would listen to other shows, like other podcasts, listening to more wrestling information and hearing others' opinions and what other people thought, because I cared, because I loved wrestling. And I'm like, you say that they're being smart by building Roman Reigns to be this new type of heel. Well, guess what? For fans like me, and I can't be the only one out there, we're finally having enough. I'm detaching myself from wrestling, and that sucks because this is such a huge part of my life. But if they're going to continue down this path of push one guy and no one else, I'm done. I just can't sit through that crap. I can't sit through the crap of liking other wrestlers but knowing they're never going to go anywhere. They're not going to have a
career.
So
what you're saying is next year's WrestleMania show should be me, Steve, and Joseph because you won't watch it.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Nick, if you're going to devote more than an hour to recording a podcast about wrestling, something you say you don't care about, that's a little bit hypocritical. Is there not enough?
We're all human.
But there's enough on the show that keeps you engaged, right? Like, okay, you might hate Roman Reigns, but there's enough characters, enough interesting stuff on the show that you tuned into Raw, that you watched WrestleMania, right?
I watched Raw because of the history of the Raw after WrestleMania. Because I know what happens.
I think they got you, Nick. I think you're a fan for life, just like with fantasy football. I think you're stuck.
Listen, this is the first WrestleMania season I really didn't give a shit about. And I'm being honest, I did not watch anything else but the shows on the WWE Network that were the pay-per-views. You know, that's all I watched this year.
You know, you binge-watched Holy Foley in Camp WWE. On Saturday morning, you're sitting there in your little underoos with your cereal bowl watching Camp WWE.
Hey, guys, just taking a step back, getting back to this match, my problem with the Roman Reigns match is the same problem I had with the Lesnar match. The limited amount of moves that these superstars have. I mean, his finishing blow to the Undertaker was an Ultimate Warrior bouncing off the ropes twice and then doing his finisher. I mean, it was just that bothers me. But it took Cena years to move up and start becoming a good wrestler. So, I mean, I'm willing to give Romans that time. And I think, again, I think next year at WrestleMania, we'll all have a different tune.
Well, let's try to end on like a happier note here. Here's a little speculation that I'd like to get into real quick. So let's think about the shakeups though, guys. So we did talk about, I mentioned that I think that they're going to switch Ambrose and Owens, switching the IC and US titles. I think we can all agree here that it looks pretty obvious AJ Styles would probably go to Raw.
I'd like to see Kevin Owens head over to SmackDown. I'd like to see AJ head over to Raw. I think that would be really good. I think SmackDown is in dire need of more tag teams, or at least good ones. I'm a little confused why the Hardys and DIY both ended up at Raw.
Not DIY, Revival.
Revival, I'm sorry.
I think I have a solution to that, Adam. I think if AJ Styles is going to go to Raw, I can completely see New Day going to SmackDown.
I feel like SmackDown is going to further itself and become more of the second brand again. But here's something interesting that I'm thinking they're doing with Raw, and you guys tell me if you agree or you disagree, but I feel like they're taking that belt and making that belt so prestigious and so untouchable that it's only going to be competed for at major events, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, maybe WrestleMania. I feel like they're taking that belt to an entirely different level of performance than the championship on SmackDown.
You're saying the Universal title is being made to look more prestigious than the WWE Heavyweight title, right?
Before, with wrestling, it was almost like every Raw, there would be a match for the championship, or every other Raw, or at least every month. I feel like they're going to do away with that. Like, Raw is trying to go more of a UFC and boxing style, where that belt becomes, you really have to climb the ladder, and you only get to compete for it at a few events.
Would love that. I would love if they installed some kind of, like, number one contender. This guy's number two. This guy's number five. So there's a ranking system, almost. You know, so you can kind
that'll
of
that'll never
along.
Happen, unfortunately.
I know, but that would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Like that would be as awesome as, say, like, you know, Roman Reigns getting fired. But none of those two things are going to ever happen.
But when is Lesnar going to fight for the belt? Right? I mean, he's not.
Lesnar already has the belt.
When is he going to fight again for the belt? He's not going to fight for it on Raw.
Well, no. Of course, it'll be an event. You know, but this is like when Lesnar had the title 2 years ago. You know, he fought sparingly. You know, had a couple defenses here and there, but we barely saw it. The point is, if they want to make that succeed, they got to have somebody big have one of the secondary titles. They switch Ambrose and Owens up. Maybe that'll do it. Maybe they won't switch both of them up. I really don't know. It's going to be exciting, though. But, guys, I think we've covered enough wrestling.
I got something I want to cover before we go, man. Okay. I got some best worst questions for you guys. Best entrance of WrestleMania. Who had the best entrance?
I'll say Hardy's because it was cool that they returned. Steve?
Sheamus and Cesaro. I really enjoyed theirs. They came out in the kilts and the suit coat, and they did the. It just was hilarious to me.
I thought Triple H had the best entrance out of everybody.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah. It was overdone.
I know, that was the point. I thought it was great. When I watched Triple H come out, and then I watched Seth come out after, I thought, this is the difference between having $10 million.
I just
realized.
Yeah, but Triple H came out on a tricycle.
Yeah.
I mean,
with a police escort and his woman riding on the back, looking all like hot and bothered.
On a tricycle. How badass are you on a motorized tricycle?
With a light that bears your emblem? That's like a $6 million bike, man. That thing's expensive.
Yeah, $6 million tricycle. You're cool.
What was the worst entrance? Who were you like, this? You guys suck. You shouldn't even come to the ring.
Roman Reigns.
His entrance was good.
Nah, he just sucks. I didn't even want him to come out to the ring.
Steve, give me a real answer.
I would say Triple H's because it didn't make any sense. He came out to the wrong song. He came out to the game and not the king. He should have came out to bow down to the king. He didn't do his like Game of Thrones get up. He did this weird like motorcycle in the cops. Why would you have cops if you're an outlaw motorcycle guy? You wouldn't have cops driving with you. It's dumb. That was horrible.
What was the best match of WrestleMania?
Steve, you first.
Tag match.
Yeah, ladder tag match. Yeah.
I agree. What was the worst match?
Reigns versus Undertaker.
Cena and Miz.
Oh, God.
Oh, we didn't even get to that. How did we miss that?
Well, it stunk, that's why. But yeah, that was pretty bad, too.
I thought, and this is what I was wondering the whole time after the match was over. Where was that ring during the match? Because if it was on John Cena, Miz is amazing.
I doubt it. I'm sure he had somebody holding it on the side.
I think like the ref or somebody. I agree with you. How about the best spot? In WrestleMania, the thing you're going to remember.
The only reason you're really going to ever remember this WrestleMania is that it was the last match of The Undertaker, most likely WrestleMania. Or, in fact, probably ever in his career.
It's not really a spot.
His last wrestling. Oh, like, you mean like a spot as in like a move?
I think it
like
could
that.
Be anything, right? A spot could be anything. It could be any spot that
well,
makes
otherwise,
you
if it's not that, it's, of course, Jeff Hardy doing the Swanton off the ladder because it's like, holy shit, Hardys are back and. This is their first time back in years, and you're seeing them in a tag team ladder match. So that would be my spot.
What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to that corkscrew moonsault that Charlotte did. That really blew my mind.
That was awesome.
It was really
blew my mind, too. Yeah.
It was awesome.
I mean, I tend to agree with Nick, though, that probably my best spot was seeing The Undertaker taking everything off and looking so human for the first time, in my opinion. Just looked like a normal garbage man. So that was surprising to me to watch him take everything off and walk away in his overalls. we going to do when we don't have wrestling to talk about anymore?
We're going to enjoy our lives, I would hope. I think we're really going to be able to de-stress, look forward to the NFL draft, look forward to the rest of the division breakdown special that we have going on still. So there's a lot of things to look forward to that aren't related to wrestling.
Right, and that's what I'm going good to at. And that's what Sleeper Wire does, guys. Again, we do this wrestling just for fun and just during the off season. During the season, we have 5 shows a week for you. We're going to break everything down every week with our rankings on our revamped website. You're going to be able to ask questions. You're going to be able to call into our live show. You're going to be able to get in touch with us directly. Again, 12 guys, people. 12 multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions all in your corner. It's just numbers. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show.
That's right, guys. And to catch more about us, you can go to sleeperwire.com, find all our episodes. You can also find them on iTunes and Stitcher. Please follow us on Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show. You can follow me at Sleeper Wire Nick. And if you'd like to follow anybody else, we're all over the place, guys. So please Facebook, come follow Twitter. Us. Yeah, Facebook. I said Twitter.
Thank you.
Follow us everywhere. We're like Bray Wyatt, only better. So follow us.
We're like Roman Reigns, baby.
No, we're not. Are
you going for a follow absolutely the buzzards not joke there? It almost got there.
Yeah. Okay. I almost got there,
just
right?
Getting,
I
just yeah, it was close.
Just a little bit.
A little off timing.
A little off timing. Well, Steve, you are also the master of timing, I suppose. Anyways, let's end the show here, guys. Adam, Steve, thank you guys for joining me. I appreciate it. For Adam and Steve, I'm Nick Somo saying so long, everybody. Good night.